Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to begin a new series of studies, which we are going to entitle, The Lord is My Strength, and we are drawing this title right out of the 28th Psalm. If you care to turn to that psalm, we'll be reading it momentarily. But we will cover in the four broadcasts that we intend to use in covering this subject, The Lord is My Strength, the child of God's resource today with the help of the Lord, then the child of God's experience, the child of God's exaltation and praise, and then lastly, the child of God's testimony. Now, Psalm 28 and verse 7 reads this way. It's a psalm of David. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him. I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Now this will be the theme verse of the whole series in this study. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Now all these elements of resource, experience, exaltation, and promise, and testimony are hinted at here, but they're not developed. We're going to have to develop them on the broadcast, and in that sense, the 28th Psalm, verse 7, is just an outline. But oh, how much truth it brings before us. So today, with the help of the Lord, we're going to talk about the child of God's resource, which, of course, is the strength of the Lord. God is our strength and our shield. Now, his strength is available. His strength is available to you and to me. The Lord is my strength, David said. Well, he's ours, just the same as it was true of David. And we're going to show that from the scriptures themselves. How wonderfully well we are equipped. Now, in Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 28 to 31, we read there, Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is worthy? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a wonderful verse. Now, his strength is available through prayer. Did you notice that in verse 31? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. This is the waiting upon the Lord in prayer. And through the medium of prayer, we are strengthened to serve the Lord. Now, along with that strength, we have wisdom that is available through prayer to direct that strength. The two go together. They're mutually dependent upon each other. Strength and wisdom. As a matter of fact, some have gone so far to say, in a philosophical sense, wisdom is power. Well, it is, in a very good sense. It is power because it directs power that is available to you and to me. Now, this also is available through prayer. Our strength is available through prayer, as we've just been reading. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now listen to James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now this is available through prayer, both wisdom and strength. Now his strength is available, and his strength is promised in Isaiah chapter 41, the very next chapter after the one we've been reading in. We read these words in the 10th verse of that chapter. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. That's a promise. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. This is a promise of God. This strength is promised. It's available through faith, but it's promised, but it must be appropriated by faith. I think of the incident of David when he met Goliath. Oh, what a display of faith that he had. Goliath intimidated the children of Israel. That giant of a man, almost 10 feet tall, came out from the Philistines, and he said, "Now give me a man to fight with me. And if I win the battle, you will be our servants. And if he wins the battle, we will be your servants." Well, nobody wanted to fight that giant. But David came with a message from his father to his brethren who were in Saul's army. And we read there in verse 31 of 1 Samuel 17, "And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. David said, 'Who is this man to defy the living God?'" Pardon me. "And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' Saul said unto David, 'Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth.' David said unto Saul, 'Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and I smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against him, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Now thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them." David had indeed the courage and the faith in God to take on this Philistine. Well, you know how he did it. He did it with a sling. He slung that stone with a terrific speed and hit that giant in the middle of the forehead and buried the stone. And they won the day, and Israel won the battle. Now, that took strength to appropriate. It took faith to appropriate that strength. We have to appropriate it too. Now, his strength is perfected in us. Now, that seems to be indeed a paradox, that God's strength would be perfected in you and me. Listen to this paradox as I read it. Paul, in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, speaks there in verse 7. "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there were given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I have besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, 'My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" Now, the Lord had just told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And he would be, "My strength is made perfect through weakness." Now, we read on, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Now, that's a paradox. When I am weak, then am I strong. When I am depending on the Lord's strength, that strength is mine to use and not depend upon myself. The Lord's assurance that he is our strength. We can forsake fending for ourselves, or undertaking for ourselves is a better word. Fending is a defensive term. And we can enjoy his strength. Now, he is also our shield. Did you notice that when we read that in this in the text? Please note, if you will, please. "The Lord is my strength and my shield." Now, what is a shield for? The shield is to protect us from harm and from danger. Now, in many instances, there are trials that we cannot cope with. And in those cases, the Lord is our shield when we can't cope with it. Now, when we can cope with it, with his strength, then he takes us through. If we appropriate that strength, if we rely upon him, if we appropriate it by faith, then he indeed gives us the strength to go through. But there are many things that are beyond us. We cannot handle it. In that case, the Lord is our shield. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 36. Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. These are David's words, even though they're in 2 Samuel. They were his words of triumph and his psalm of thanksgiving to the Lord for his delivering power. Thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation. Now we read in John 5 and 24, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Also in Psalm 3 and 3, But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. Then we see in Ephesians 6 and 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and that's the darts of the devil himself. Now, we have a shield, and God is not only our strength, but he is our shield, and he protects us from those things that we can't handle. Now, we are delivered. The shield is from divine wrath. We read that in John 5:24, and I should have said it when I read the verse. That is the shield from divine wrath. Listen to it, please. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, condemnation. Judgment and condemnation are synonymous, but is passed from death unto life. He's the shield from overwhelming circumstances. We read it in Psalm 3. Absalom's treason was in vogue when David wrote that psalm. And he's the shield from Satan's power. We read, Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan has does not have the advantage. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and that power is a shield. It overcomes the devil. He cannot win the day. And all of these things show what it means to have for the Lord to be our strength and our shield. Our Father, today we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the Lord Jesus can be all of these things to us if we will only appropriate them, if we will rest in him. God grant that we shall. We ask in Christ's name, giving thanks. Amen.